the Lord's Feast, all right? Because that's what the Bible calls it. A lot of folks say it's the Feast of the Jews. It's the Feast of this. It's the Feast. No, this is God's Feast. This is His time to communicate with His people the deeper understanding of the fullness of the Godhead. And He lays it out in these first three feasts that we're going to look at, Lord willing, these first three feasts that we're going to look at today, which is the Passover, which rolls into the oven, unleavened bread, which rolls into the first fruit. And they all do roll together. They are truly one feast with three different aspects to it, because they just roll one right into another. It's a beautiful thing. After the first three feasts, there's a 50-day rest of the enjoyment of God, of the fullness of God. And then comes the Pentecost. And we won't get to that today, I'm sure. If we get to half of what we got today, we'll be doing well. And so, praise God. The Lord's Feast. Somebody, if you would, open your... I hope all of you have your Bibles. If you don't, we will give you one. It's Exodus chapter 12. Say amen when you get one, get it opened up there. Amen. Mom, she's quick.
Make your count of the lamb. For the lamb, excuse me.
first year, ye shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the post, on the two side posts, and on the upper doorpost of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night. I memorized this in the New King James, and so often when I'm reading it, that just pops back into my mind, okay? And so when you see me misquoting it, and it is because it was memorized as something different, you can tell the difference between the translations. Even a good translation, fair translation, as the King James is still, the New King James, it's not the King James, all right? And so anyhow, as the proper translation goes, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat it not raw, nor sodden, sodden means boiled, sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head, his legs, and with his entrails, intestines, yeah, the whole thing thereof. And ye shall, ye shall let nothing of it remain until morning. And that which remaineth until the morning shall burn with fire. Shall ye burn with fire? And thus ye shall eat it, with your loins girded, shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. For I will pass over the land this night, and I will smite all the firstborn of Egypt, both men and beasts, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be for you a token upon the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. For this day shall be for you a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast and ordinance forever. And then he goes into the unleavened bread. So that is the Passover understanding. That's what God wanted to see about the Passover. So when we back up and look at it from the beginning, they have a particular time, the first of the year. There's a reason that God wanted this to be their first of the year. All right. The reason that he wanted it to be the first of the year, we need to have this as God the first thing on our mind continually. Which of us, when we wake up this morning, had God on your mind? Amen. Praise God. Thank God somebody raised their hand. Thank God that there is that. And this is the picture that I saw when I was going over this, that God wanted us, the people of God, to have God first and foremost, the first thing, the first month, the first beginning of anything, that Jehovah, that Elohim, that He was the beginning of anything that crosses our mind, the very first part of the month for you. Yeah. And in that, speaking to all the congregation of Caledonia, or excuse me, Scottsdale, Charity Bible. All right, we're speaking to the whole congregation of Charity Bible. And it's supposed to be on the 10th day. Now, Passover, they say this begins until the 14th, because that was when the sacrifice actually. But what happened on the 10th? What were you supposed to do?
Supposed to take what?
Or a goat. Yeah. Why a lamb or a goat? Did you think of that? Because I've always been told that God only accepted the sacrifice of lambs. Yeah. Right? That's what I did before I read the Bible. That's what they told me. God wouldn't accept the sacrifice of a goat. Except what God told you. You know, whatever. Well, there's the separation of the lamb and the goat. Go ahead, sis.
We used to have both.
Yeah.
And this Orthodox person would come and he would buy our goat.
Yeah.
And I always thought to myself, that's so weird. We're supposed to be sacrificing the lamb. Why did they sacrifice the goat? That's the first time I saw or.
Yeah. Amen.
The first time.
Yeah.
I read it so many times.
So
take the heathen or he would take the set apart. He would take either sign. Either person that wanted to come to God, that wanted to accept the sacrifice. If you familiarize yourself with a goat, he'll accept you if you put that blood on you. If you familiarize yourself with the Lamb of Israel, he will accept that. God wants to accept both Gentile and Jew. He wants us to come together as a body of believers. He doesn't want us to be separated. So in my hypothesis, that's all it is. It's my thought when I looked at it, is that God wants a unity in the world that he created. And he's not going to hold any difference between the Jew or the Gentile, the bond or the free. Right? He wants us all to come under the blood of the sacrifice. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I was thinking two things here. One, they're both clean animals.
Amen.
And secondly, they're probably the two prevalent ones that are clean in
yeah.
that area.
Yes.
On purpose.
He purposely
made that.
Amen.
That wasn't an accident.
Right. We also have the oxen that were considered clean, but he didn't offer the ox. It was only the sheep or the goat. You know, and so praise God. But all of those, you're right, those are the clean. He didn't want a goldfish. He didn't want your
camel.
It was small enough, too.
Small enough, too big
for the family.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Imagine having to bring a cow into your house for 10 days.
Yeah.
Sheep droppings are one thing.
Yeah.
A cow dropping for 10 days, that's a really big problem in your house. Especially when you got to clean it, you know. And so, anyhow, there's a lot of physical reasons for it, but I know that there's some spiritual pictures that God wants us to have in the New Testament church of the Old Testament reality of the Passover of God, of the great love that he has for all people who would come to him. Okay, so you keep this animal, this kid, and I think a sheep is called a kid. No, a goat called a kid. So you keep this young lamb, amen, lamb, or a kid of the first year. So it had to be young. You had both of them. Are they not cute little things?
You don't even need a television.
Just
sit there and watch them.
You yeah. had them running around in our house when they were born in February.
Oh, yes.
And the kids from Bible study would go down and bring them all up.
Oh.
We had lambs running all over our
house. Bouncing. The little lambs would walk on high heels all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, the ghosts are kicking their heels up all over the place.
Yeah,
oh,
no?
Sorry.
Picture that in your house. Dead
well,
we're just
tonight.
Right? they didn't have to. All right, so they took this thing that they knew they were going to see. They took this animal that was cute, it was lovable, it wanted to be loved, right? They will snuggle up with you, whether it be a lamb or a kid, either one, they will snuggle with you. So the children of the house, or the wife and the husband of the house, when you're sitting in your chair for those 10 days, this little fluffy, warm thing that needs to still be fed, that needs nourishment, that you get to minister to and to serve, it's right there with you.
But then you have to sacrifice.
You kill it.
It's gotta be precious.
After you actually bond with it.
After you bond, amen. 10 days for bonding. That's why. It was 4 days, from the 10th to the 14th. 4 days. I've been saying 10 days. You took it on the 10th of the month. You kept it till the 14th of the month. So for those days, you were with it. You ate with it. You breathed with it. You slept in the same vicinity of it. You tended to it. You cleaned up after it. Your children loved it. Especially that first one. And then comes the day, at the evening of the 14th. And it's interesting that he calls it the evening of the 14th. So all that day you need to prepare for the sacrifice. All that day you've got to tell your children, don't play with your food. I'm sorry, that's bad. You break it in and you love it and you tend to it. And then comes that evening when you have the children hold the goat or the lamb and you cut its throat. The head of the house does this. The father does this. It wasn't given to the women to do it. It wasn't given to the children to do it. But all had to participate in it. The slaughtering of the lambs. I don't know. When I was meditating on this, because I didn't know I'd be teaching this until yesterday. So I thought about it last night and this morning, and I got here early and spent some time in prayer and just going over the steps that it must have took and trying to put my place in that position. And calling my children, my grandchildren, and maybe my neighbor together. And saying, listen, now we've got to do this thing. And notice that nothing is wasted. First, you cut the throat of the animal and you bleed it out. You collect all of the blood. All of it. And then you take it and you put it on the doorpost of your house, over the header of your house. There's another place that says that you fill it up and there's a lintel on your door, and the blood comes down and it fills the lintel of your door. So the entrance to your most sacred place is covered in the sacrifice.
Hey, you were mentioning that the Father would do this, but that's exactly what happened at the crucifixion. Amen. Jesus didn't ask the Romans or the Jews to let this cup pass.
Yeah.
He asked his Father, because it's up to his Father to do this.
Amen.
Was
Amen.
The sacrifice has to be precious to him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is not just a matter of Jesus Christ died for my sins.
No.
It has to be intimate. It has to be in growth, in sanctification, right? Not
yes.
The day you give your life to Christ, usually that awareness. But that is what grows in us.
The 4 days that you spend with him, the more time you spend with him, the more precious he becomes.
Yes.
And knowing that there is that time, that sweet, precious thing is going to die by the hand of the Father. And not for anything that the goat or the sheep had done. The sacrifice didn't do anything wrong. It was perfect. In fact, it had to be brought in out of your house, examined, checked out for 4 days. There was no blemish in this at all.
And it shows a serious horror and sin.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah.
This innocent lamb.
Yeah.
No goat would be slaughtered.
Yeah.
For
in front of me. Well, excuse the expression, but God and everybody. Mm-hmm. Right? It would be right in front of your children. You didn't hide this
right.
from your kids. You didn't hide the horror or the hurt.
The cost.
I mean, all of us have had children that had a goldfish die. Right? Oh, my goldfish died! And they cry and they weep, or a bunny or a dog or a cat or something like that. Because it was precious to them. But this was something that God said, this is my feast. God said it's his feast. He's going to do this. Because it's not anything that the family did except come to the perfect sacrifice, bring it in, love it for 4 days, and then offer it back up to God. As a covering. Now, understand this, it wasn't just for the feast, all right? It wasn't just for that, it just wasn't for the hunt, because there was no hunt here. In fact, if you think about it, it sounds kind of brutal. Very much like Christ dying for our sin. It was brutal.
Yep.
But through that was forgiveness and grace and mercy and love for those who chose be under the sacrifice.
The lamb is innocent, is
mm-hmm.
vulnerable, it has done nothing wrong.
Right, it's done nothing wrong.
And
it was pretty, it was without blemish to the eye. Right? And it trusted you. I didn't even think of that, but you're right.
Yeah.
That little lamb, or kid goat, that little offspring, had absolute 100% trust. No fear was in his eyes when he cut his throat.
Awesome.
Something to
think about. Interesting, too, that they then ate it.
Yeah.
And then you think of the Passover, the Lord's Supper, at the Last
yes.
Supper.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, take and eat this body.
It's my body.
Yeah.
Drink this cup. It's my
yeah,
blood.
Yeah.
And in the eating of it, or in the preparation of it, well, first he says in verse 4, and if the household be too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Again, we're supposed to come with the sacrifice that we have, the love of God that we have, to somebody who's lesser, and wrap them up in the grace and the mercy of the sacrifice that's going to be laid out. If you're not big enough to take it, if your family can't handle the whole thing, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring you into my home. I'm going to love you. We're going to, for these 4 days, we're going to think about what we're going to do. For instance, a newlywed husband and wife, right? They don't have any kids. They can't eat a whole sacrifice of their own. So I'm going to come and I'm going to take that new believer. I'm going to take that new person, that new union, that small family, and I'm going to bring them into my house. It might be an elderly person, a widow or a widower or somebody like that. You take that one person under your wing and you bring them into that place of sacrifice with you. You want to talk about a communion? It's not just a communion of your personal family, but it's a communion of your neighbor, of those who are least. We're supposed to love the least of these. And don't expect any payback. Go ahead, brother.
Show that the sacrifice was meant to be shared, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
For the ones that believe.
Yeah. For anybody who would come, could come. And if you would come, you'd be covered. If you followed the right instructions. You had to follow the right instructions. Right, yeah. So you couldn't go to your fold and pull out the very worst animal you had. You know, broken jaw, it's going to die anyhow, been wounded or torn, you know. And so you had to get something that was valuable to you, that had a potential to be an increase to you and to your flock. And so you bring them in. The number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count of the lamb. The lamb shall be, again, of the first year without blemish, out of the sheep or the goats. Verse 6. And ye shall make it up unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Again, a picture of Christ there. When Jesus came, he came exactly on the day that he was supposed to. It was 178,880 days from the decree to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. Okay? Exactly that day, which was 10 days before his, 4 days before his crucifixion. It was on the 10th of Nisan. So he rides in exactly like it was colt. He would ride in on a colt, the ass of a colt that had never been ridden. He was examined for 4 days. He taught in the temple and he explained the goodness and grace and might of God. He was without spot, not before man, but before his Father. He was perfect. Right? So the pictures there are astronomical. And on the day of his crucifixion, it was done out in front of everybody. All of Israel that was there did it. They did it on the same day. They did it with an agreement. Remember when Jesus was before Pontius Pilate and he said, you can have Barabbas. I always get him and Barnabas mixed up. I don't know why they're so different in people. But the B guy, Barabbas, right? Bad guy. You can have him or the Christ. And the whole of Israel, the whole congregation said, give us Barabbas. Crucify Christ, crucify him, crucify him, crucify, shed his blood. And it was for the whole congregation, they all did.
The number 14 is kind of significant. That's the double multiple of 7.
Amen.
And in the Bible, you know, the 7 is completeness or perfectness, and 2 in the Bible is quite often the number of division.
Oh.
So you would be talking about the Jew and the Gentile
yeah.
in this thing.
Amen. the same thing. So are you getting the picture of how perfect God in His Word is, how the sacrifice was, and it was supposed to be done for generation after generation after generation after generation until the perfect Lamb of God, His blood was shed. Mark, my brother.
The timing, too,
mm-hmm.
in the evening, isn't that, the Bible compares that to like the day of the Lord, the tribulation, and then the morning is when things are purified.
Yeah, His mercies are new every...
That's when we need His protection the most.
Yes.
Is during those
it's just before the darkest hour.
In the evening
yeah.
times.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Good picture.
I just want to say is when I became a Christian, I'm reading the Bible, and I'm realizing that God did include the Gentiles that came alongside Israel that made that commitment. Mm-hmm. That was a very powerful thing for me when I was first saved, because I never belonged to any group. I was always, yeah, because I was by myself, right? So I was always the outsider, and I will never forget actually crying at the thought that I wasn't an outsider anymore. Does that make sense? That the Lord brings in, He brings us all, anyone who wants
to come. Yes.
He brings them in, and He did it in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
It is who He is. His character doesn't change, right? He just wants to love. So that was just a thought that I had that I remember being profoundly impacted by that, reading the Old Testament.
Yeah, and it is for everyone. The Bible, only those who are born again can understand it
yep.
fully, but it is for anybody who would come,
yep.
who would search, they would find God. They would find His love, His mercy, His grace. They would find everything that they needed to know
yep.
about Him, because He is the Creator of all,
yep.
and He loves us all. And so He says, He did not wrong, nor saw them boil at all with water, but roasted with fire is the whole thing, alright? Head, entrails, legs, all of it. Eat it all. Cook it all. I like that He said, don't boil it. Don't water down the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Don't water it down. Now, people say, I need to read a different type of Bible because the other's just too hard for me. So you water it down. You take the sacrifice of God, His Word, and you boil it and make it more tolerable. Go ahead, bud.
They didn't sugarcoat it either.
No.
Since they used bitter herbs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bitter herbs. Huh? That's another thing. You think about this sacrifice. It was not a pleasing thing. Think about it. A lot of us freak out when you have a pig with its head on, right? Or... You know, the Christmas story, you know, where they brought out the turkey and it still had its head. And they were, and they cut the head off. TV show. Anyhow. This whole lamb was put into the oven. It doesn't say its hair. All right. Praise God for that. If you've never smelled burning hair, it would ruin a lot of stuff. So it was prepared, but it still had all of its entrails in it. It still had... anybody here ever feel dressed a deer?
My brother. Yeah.
What's the organs that you want to take out? Things like the bladder and the digestive
yeah.
system.
Yeah.
And
you
so take it out. Pardon?
If you puncture it, it ruins the whole
thing. It really does. You puncture it. Now imagine boiling it in the meat.
Uh-huh.
I can't.
I'm wondering what it tastes like. Oh.
Yeah. It would. Go ahead.
The meat absorbs more the flavor and the taste when it's all together. Water on it, it's leaching it out.
Yes.
So, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You would never cook it. Like, nobody would say, I like my dear
like
dad.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Nobody
right.
would
yeah.
say
that. Right. Oh, yes. No, no.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Even
yeah.
when you're
yeah.
field dressing a deer, you make sure that you don't bust the gut and
mm-hmm.
you don't bust the urine sac. You don't
right.
you don't puncture the bowels.
Yeah.
You take it out as whole and complete
okay.
as you could. Now, this year has been eating off of your plate for 4 days in your house. And you cook the whole thing.
With pertinence there.
Pertinence. With the
glorious.
So, in your house, on that evening, it is cooked all night long. Right? It says for the whole evening, and you don't eat it until the next day.
They wouldn't have done it in the house.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be locked in the house.
Even after it was killed.
You kill it, you put the door, blood over the door closed, you go back into the house, you prepare the food, so it would have been cooked right there.
Right in
the house. No, you wouldn't sleep outside either, because anything that's not protected by the blood, their firstborn died that night.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, go ahead, Russ.
Didn't a lot of houses way back then have a
courtyard
around the outside, and in the center they had an open area,
courtyard
kind of thing?
Yeah. I from what I understand from archaeology and stuff, yes, they do. And several places still have that. They have a courtyard, and the whole family lives in like a little, the Fitz condo, right? Mm-hmm. And they have a courtyard. Yes.
So they might have done their cooking.
Could have very well been.
That's part of the house.
Yeah, it would have been
right.
Part of the
so
house.
Long
yeah.
in your
and they were still in Goshen, so they did have their own land. I mean, they weren't like locked up in a prison somewhere, right? So all this was happening, and it could very well be, amen. It may have been cooked in a courtyard.
Well, the wilderness sacrifices were not done in the, in the tabernacle.
No,
outside the tabernacle, but right. Within the walls.
Within the walls, yeah. Within the curtain, within the veil, all right? Then the first thing you came on was the sacrificial burnt altar that you take your sacrifice, you tie it to the horns of the altar. The priest then would slit his throat. They would gather the blood, mix it with wine, and actually dip hyssop in it and sprinkle the crown, you know, with it. And then after that, the priest would go and wash in the levers. Yes?
I know you mentioned about Christian being able to read and understand the Bible, you know. I always go back to my grandmother who was illiterate and couldn't read or write.
Yeah.
But she could read and understand the Bible.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, when I moved here, my wife will tell you, I could not read the newspaper. Still have a hard time reading newspapers. You know, the ink is all over. It's just a horrible thing. And but anyhow, I couldn't read. I couldn't read Jack and Jill went up the hill. Right? I could not read, but I could read the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I could understand God's Word. But I couldn't really understand much of anything. You know, but when you're born again, God gives you an ability, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit didn't say that he would translate the Democrat Chronicles.
That's right.
But you do have him to guide you to. So anyhow, understanding that it needs to be eaten, not raw, but well done, and not watered down. The sacrifice of God. My sister.
I'm sorry, this is also a picture of taking all of Jesus, not just the parts.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Sister Nat. Great. About the entrails, the head, and all that. You got to take it all.
Yeah.
Jesus says more than a halfway believer. He wants all of you. The tasty and the not so tasty.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, yeah, thank you for that, Sonny. That's good.
Yeah.
That is good. My brother.
This message, just the way that it was, you know, conducted, is brutal. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
as far as the reminder of, you know, the Father's only begotten Son.
Yeah.
I mean, there must have been a lot of sin going on for God to use His wrath like that.
Yeah.
And then also trying to teach a lesson at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus said, Hebrews says that He despised for the glory that was set before him. He despised the shame for the glory that was set before him.
For the joy
that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame for the glory joy that was set before him. Again, New King James compared to the King James. There's a difference there. And so, but again, eat it all. Consume everything that God has for you. Let nothing remain until morning. So that evening, when you cooked it, when you started eating it, you ate all of it. Right? And if you could not eat it all, you took the rest of it and you burnt it with fire. You left nothing. We're supposed to, like Bonnie said, leave nothing out. Take everything. All of it. Did we lose them?
No.
Okay. Take it all. Take everything. When we accept Jesus Christ, just don't take the comfortable parts. Don't just hang on to John 3:16 and not hold on to the rest of the Word of God. Don't get me wrong. Praise God, there was that sacrifice, for God so loved the world that He gave. Amen. Yes, glory to God. But He also says, those, if you love darkness more than you love light, then there's no relationship with you and God. Take it all, the hard, the tough things, where God tells us that we got to die, we got to suffer. If we're going to participate in the glory of God, we got to join in the fellowship of the suffering with God. Not many American churches even comprehend that thought. That there's suffering that goes on. Who here understands about any part of suffering for the glory of God? Except for Justin. Justin, he does. He understands it completely. He lives it every day. Right? But the most of us, I don't. You know?
I think we all do to a small extent, but
yeah,
not that even compared.
Yes, nothing
compared. I mean, we've all had our bad days and bad situations.
Even,
but they don't.
We've had people that dislike us or shut the door on our face or.
Yeah, even what Paul said about that doesn't matter.
Yeah, amen. It does.
It's all worth it.
Yes. Is the suffering of this present age worthy to be compared to the glory that's set before us? Wendy, on Saturday prayer, she read this an account of a woman who saw her husband decapitated for the gospel. Alright, we don't understand that.
And she had to get the body.
Yeah.
She and her family had to go move his head and his body in order to get them getting it. They had to.
Yeah.
Perfect example of God giving His grace only when you need it.
Amen.
Thank
and
you.
We can't understand it because we don't have that grace because we're not doing it.
God only gives His grace when you need it. He gives you sufficient the grace for the trial that you're involved in. You know, it's sufficient. As you walk through it, you find out He's never left you, He's never forsaken you. As you walk through it, you realize that nothing can take you out of His hand. As you walk through it, as you accept the suffering, as you accept the pain, as you accept the blood, as you accept the emptiness that comes through that suffering.
There was another woman that, it's a book I'm reading, Hearts on Fire, or Hearts of Fire, or something, I guess, from VON, but she suffered terribly. She had her child and her mother killed while they were being chased by, I can't remember if it was Taliban, I don't recall, but what was remarkable, she was separated from her husband. She thought her husband was dead. She knew her son was dead at 4 years old. She knew her mother was dead. She could hear. They were in the jungle. She went through horrific things. But she wanted to live.
Yeah.
But she wanted to live. And I say that because when you hear those things, you think, you just want to be done. Right? You just want to be done.
Yeah,
just,
once you're done.
Just, you know, almost like stepping out and saying, just take me, I'm next.
Yeah.
You know, just, but she didn't. She wanted to live. And I feel like that is the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That is the Spirit of God. And she would yell to the people that were attacking her, in the blood of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. That's what she kept saying to them.
Yeah.
And she just went through horrific things. She ended up being saved, but, you know, from the situation.
Right.
And found her husband. He was not dead.
Oh, amen.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah. Amazing true story.
It is, yeah. And those things are happening all over the world. Just because we in America haven't experienced them, don't think that we're special, that we won't experience them. It's those things. But again, God will give us the grace we need for the time we need it, when we need it.
But there was a hurt there, too, you know, that God, you know, felt when, you know, He gave up His only begotten Son, too. And you can see it, you know, through this account, you know, that it's like, well, it's like, you know, it's like my firstborn, you know, you basically make it look like He, you know, He died in vain. I'll take your legacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I read a couple of verses?
Yes, please.
God kind of pointed this out to me. It's verse 11 where we are now.
Yeah.
And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Then I want to compare that actually repeated in 6.
Come on. Great place.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, where you should be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which the staff probably represents, which is the word of God.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let me ask the Church of 2021 here in Scottsville, New York. When we think about the Lord and His great sacrifice for us and the protection we have under the blood, do we have our loins girded, our shoes on our feet, and our staff in our hand? Are we eating this with an anticipation?
Mm-hmm.
Eating this with an anticipation that there's coming a day that we're going to be relieved from this.
Mm-hmm.
All the hardship, all the seeing your loved ones die.
Are we looking at our heart?
Are we looking unto Him,
yeah,
the author and the finisher of our faith? Not looking at the jab, or not looking at the present governmental powers that be. We, yeah.
I think about what you was just saying, how we were saying it's the Spirit, right? It's the Holy Spirit. That the enemy can work on the Christian mind in that you can't do that.
Right.
That's too hard.
Yeah.
You're not strong enough. You are too weak. You are not. And I really think we have to really be careful of those thoughts. If it were men that did it, then we would be worshiping men.
Right.
We don't worship man. We worship Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that's within us and God the Father. And so when it's time, He will give us that grace.
Yeah.
But you concerned that I won't be able to do it, I won't be able to stand. I think that's as much the enemy,
mm-hmm,
and our flesh. And it can get in the way of, no, I stand. I stand,
right,
and I will be an overcomer,
yes,
because Jesus Christ is with me.
Right.
And
put your faith. Put your faith if you let Him do that.
Amen.
If you let Him scare you, you,
yes,
that's hurting you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yes.
Yes.
Go ahead, Lance. What's on your heart?
No, I like Romans.
You do.
Chapter 8, verse 24 says, "For we are saved by hope. The hope that is seen is not hope.
Amen.
For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?"
Amen.
Amen.
But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it.
Yeah. Amen.
So you keep going.
And remember, this was a picture given to Israel thousands of years before Christ came. They had to keep this as a perpetual offering year by year by year by year by year. Not just this offering. There are a lot of offerings. You know, different sacrifices that you had to do under. But this was special. This is what God said, I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And this is the picture of what it needs to look like. In your personal life, although God did this, and His promise for us is eternal. For those who really are under the blood of Jesus Christ, under the sacrifice of God, His promise is eternal. Right?
Yeah.
But you've got to make sure you're on the right side of that door. You got to make sure you're on the right side of the blood. You got to make sure that you are in the place where the sacrifice is. You got to be in that hole. You got to be in that stuff. You got to be willing to stand your ground when all else is falling apart around you. When the world seems to fall apart, because that's what happened in the evening. Verse 12 says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Amen?
Amen.
Who did that not affect? Those who have faith enough to put the blood on.
To kill the lamb.
Had faith enough in front of their enemies,
mm-hmm,
put the blood. Let it fill your lintels. Put the blood on in front of your enemies, in front of the ones that God's about ready to judge. Put the blood on. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because in it is the power of salvation to the Jew first and and then to the Gentile. Right? We can't be ashamed of who we are in Christ Jesus, church. Go ahead, brother.
So the heathen, they were looking at it as some silly ritual.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there were some that believed it enough because there were some that came out of the, well, maybe, I don't know, were any of the Egyptians, did any of the Egyptians put blood on? Don't know. Can't say. I don't know. I know in the movie, the Ten Commandments, they did, but I don't think Charlton Heston was really the
actor.
Go ahead.
I was thinking how after they saw the firstborn die that doesn't have the blood, that they wouldn't forget, they would not hesitate to do it next year.
Yes.
Next year, they're definitely going to do it because it really happened.
Well, think of this. I said I wasn't going to get into the Revelation or anything like that. But when we get into the unleavened bread, which is right around the corner, there's 7 days, 7 days, 7 years, 7 days. All right, there's seven things, seven time periods that you're going to have to live in, and go through this time of eating nothing tasty in your mouth, but everything's going to be worshiping the Lord. We'll get to that in a minute. But in this Passover, in this sacrifice, in this accepting what God is doing. That what God is doing, I can't get over that God's doing this. Yeah, the Hebrews were doing the action of it, but they were doing it by faith for what was going to happen.
Amen.
When God would take the perfect lamb that was able to cover the sin of the world, and He would sacrifice him. Remember this, Jesus said, "No man takes my life, but I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I can pick it up." Whatever.
I think some of the Egyptians had seen the fulfillment of what Moses said would come to pass.
Yes.
Before this,
mm-hmm.
You start thinking, uh-oh, what he says.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's right. It,
you know. Well, especially after the death of the firstborn.
Yeah.
Right? That
I mean, even before
that. That struck it
yeah.
to the earth.
Yeah. Highly respected. Because it wasn't about their location, it was
right.
about the blood.
Right.
So wherever they were.
Go along with what he said, verse 36.
Yeah, come on.
It says, "And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians,
mm-hmm.
so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians."
Yeah.
So the Egyptians,
they did.
They had favor with them.
Right, they did. You know,
that was the night of the Passover.
Yeah.
That the Lord, well, actually, this is fulfilling the prophecy that was given to Abraham. That the people would go into bondage for 430 years. After the 430 years, they would leave Egypt with the great spoil. That's what that is.
Yeah.
All right? And they left Egypt with the great spoil. Now, yeah, you think about it. Go ahead, sister.
Yeah, I just want to say something about Abraham and Isaac. I see a comparison between Isaac as being sacrificed instead of the lamb and vice versa. Where the lamb is sacrificed because God can save men. Men cannot save men. So Isaac could not be sacrificed
right.
as the lamb.
Isaac was not a perfect soul before
right.
God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he could not be sacrificed. You're absolutely right. But God provided himself a sacrifice, a ram instead of a lamb.
Hmm. Right.
Different thought, my brother?
Well, you were talking about you didn't know if it was just the Egyptians, but in verse 38, "And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, and even very much cattle."
Yes. After the sacrifice, after they saw that Moses, that the word of God was true, then a lot of the Egyptians, which ended up causing trouble in the wilderness, but a lot of the Egyptians came out with them, and they went to join in the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, all right, that was supposed to follow directly after. There's not any time in between the Passover and unleavened bread. It's sunrise, sundown, or sunset, sun up, you know. It's the next day. When the unleavened bread, the Passover is finished on the 14th, the 15th, the next day begins the unleavened bread. So there wasn't like a time of waiting. That's why when they took the Passover, they had to be fully dressed, fully prepared to move out. When we take Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we need to be prepared to leave. All right? We need to be prepared to leave. Because there is a time coming where God's going to move on the world scene, the Egyptian, the sin of the world, and God's going to deal with them harshly. harshly, but that doesn't mean that we won't have to eat some bitter herbs. Doesn't mean that the church isn't going to go all the way up until that point of the wrath of God.
Judgment will begin at the house of God.
Judgment begins at the house of God. And we're supposed to do what? Judge yourselves. Right? Judgment needs to begin at the house of God every day. Every day. In my house, in my heart, I need to judge this vessel every day against the God, the Word of God, or the God of the Word, and prepare this vessel for the time, whatever the time might be.
And the house of God is the temple.
Amen. It's right here.
Temple.
In the temple.
You are the temple.
Yes. And we must prepare this house every day. It needs to be shod, have the gospel of peace put on its feet, have the breastplate of righteousness every day, the belt of truth. It needs to have the helmet of salvation, shield of faith, the Word of God, continually, every day. I need to be prepared with that to go and proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. Not to the world, but just inside of this vessel. See, if it's not real here, how can you make it real out there? It must be life-changing to the individual, I guess is a good way to put it. Life-changing to the individual. And so, he says, you shall keep that out of verse 13, and the blood shall be for you a token, meaning a sign, a token, upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever. Then he talks about 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, which starts the morning of the next day, the unleavened bread feast. And so, looking at this, the blood shall be a token upon your houses where you are, and when I see the blood, all right, when I see the blood, what that reminds me of is in Isaiah, though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. But, yeah, I am a sinner. This house has sinned against the Most High God. But God, I am under the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm under His grace, under His mercy. I am completely and totally surrounded by the righteousness of God. It's not my righteousness I stand on. Yours either. You are not right before God. Do you understand that? You ain't good. Everyone who, Debbie and I have been trying to change our vocabulary because our kids got us into that. I'm good. No, you're not. No. There's nothing good about you. Drive safe. Uh-oh. Wait, you think the rest of the time I drive like a maniac?
Do the best you can.
Do the best you can. Right? Again, do the best you can. Will I sin? Yes, I will, because I'm a sinner by nature. Will I trust the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ and confess my sin? Absolutely, every day. Every moment. Several times a day sometimes. Better be several times a day all the time. Amen?
My brother. Can I add to what I said earlier?
Sure.
Remember when I was reading verse 11?
Yeah.
It mentioned three of the six things in Ephesians.
Yep.
The ones that are left out are the breastplate of righteousness, because we don't have that yet at
yep.
this time.
Come on.
And with the helmet of salvation, because that hasn't occurred yet.
Yeah.
And there's one more here.
Shield of faith.
Shield of faith, yeah.
Right.
Those three are not shown here, because this is the first half.
Right.
Well,
in the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
then we got the rest of it,
in the
all
New,
of it,
all
in
of
the
it.
New Testament.
Amen.
Except with the shield of, when you say the
shield of
faith,
yeah.
The only thing is Abraham, it was counted to him
as righteousness.
As, right?
Right.
Am I saying
he believed God and it was counted unto him as righteousness.
It was his faith that,
yes.
that
mm-hmm.
saved him, right?
Right.
Yes, but God, the righteousness really doesn't happen until the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
See, it happened here after the sacrifice.
Okay.
And with us, all of that stuff in Ephesians comes after the sacrifice.
And again, with Abraham, until he was willing to sacrifice his son, it wasn't appointed unto him. It wasn't given to him. Until he had got to the point where he was willing to kill
yes.
the thing he loved the most.
Yes.
And he really didn't get his righteousness because he's still in hell.
Amen.
Until after the crucifixion.
Well, his faith. I was supposed to.
Yes. Yeah. He had. Well, faith is all the way through there.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Small detail. Since you mentioned Abraham again.
Yeah.
When that ram was caught in the thicket.
Yeah.
I will tell you that a full-grown, bulky sheep, when they know you got no idea what you're doing, can get wrapped up in a thicket and they cannot move.
Really?
They just stand there. Really? They will not move.
They freak out.
That is the only way we caught a sheep, and my son prayed before it happened.
Wow.
We had no clue. We had just gotten them off the truck. They were running everywhere. We didn't know how to catch them.
Yeah.
And he prayed, and the next thing he knew, the sheep was just wrapped up in a thicket, just standing there.
Oh. Just waiting.
So imagine that that's what that ram was just,
yeah.
Was just there.
Just there.
You know, if you think, how could they happen? Is the minute they get held, they stop.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not only that, it's just the dog. We had some sheep, and the neighbor's dog came down and literally killed the sheep. They don't get up and fight. They just sit there and lay down.
Yeah.
They don't fight.
That's why we need sheep dogs. Amen? Sheep dog keeps the wolves away. Right? Then the sheepdog needs to keep his eye on the shepherd. Jesus being the good shepherd. A pastor is a sheepdog. Alright? I am not your shepherd. Amen. Yeah.
And as he points out, that's why we call the people that are just ignoring what's going on, sheep.
Yeah, sheeple. Yeah. They think it's not a bad time, but it is.
Well, there's so many animals that do protect. I remember my brother-in-law had buffalo.
Right.
And so when somebody got injured, the others would make a circle around it and take
it
off.
Yeah, the same thing.
So the whole
yeah.
idea was to protect that animal.
Right.
But she can do that.
She can do that.
They don't run anything.
Yeah.
Just like Jesus.
Amen.
Stood there and took it.
Yes.
Stood there and took it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we are like sheep.
Yes. Yeah.
We're sheep.
We're
sheep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, now, if the sheep would listen to the sheepdog, and the sheepdog isn't paying attention to the shepherd, guess what you get took out of? The thicket, danger, you know. But if you want to go your own way and you ignore everything from the shepherd, the sheepdog trying to help you with, you're probably going to get caught up and killed. That's the problem with those, and again, here I'm chasing a rabbit, because I'm a sheepdog. That's what I'm chasing a rabbit, let me alone. In that, when a sheep gets outside of the fold, who do the wolves hit first?
That one.
The one that's wandered away from the sheepfold. That's why the sheepdog always circles the sheep, always tries to keep them close. But a sheepdog can't keep people, sheep that don't, if a sheep wants to get out of the pen, he's getting out of the pen, right? Ain't nothing you can do. And when people decide to go their own way, there ain't nothing you can do. You know, well, if they come back, welcome them back to the fold. But if not, pray that the wolf doesn't get them until they come back.
And their thinking is actually opposite.
Yeah.
They're thinking they're going for freedom.
Right.
And in actuality, it is in the fold that
yes.
is freedom.
Amen.
Right? Because there is safety there, boundaries there. But they think.
They think.
It's
well,
going to be free.
Remember, the grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence. But it's still just grass.
Well, when you get over there and look back.
Oh, yes, you bet. When you get over there and look back. Absolutely. And so this blood will be a token, a sign upon your houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. Now, think about this. When you are kept in Jesus Christ, is there anything that can harm you? The plague cannot harm you.
Your soul.
Your soul, yeah.
Cannot
yeah.
harm.
Your, the real you.
Yeah.
The real
you. It is well with my soul, whatever.
Amen, right. You know, you talked about that VOM story where the
yeah.
wife's her husband,
yeah.
Erica, did his head fall off? Did he die? Absolutely. Was he kept in Christ? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Did her, his wife and his family have faith that he was kept in Christ? Absolutely. Will they see him again? Absolutely. You
well,
know?
When they hurt, they are comforted.
Yeah.
Or
and
they
yes.
are comforted
yeah.
when they're hurting.
And that's where somebody who has mourned the loss of a spouse or a child
yeah.
begins to understand the depth and the love of Christ, right? And the balm that he brings to our soul. It doesn't take away the hurt.
No,
it still is a horrible, dark place. It feels so bad. But
the pain
you
is real.
It's only comfort.
Yeah.
Because you put it, and it happened to me. It's happened to a lot of people. Can I talk to you? Can I reach out? Because nobody had anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I would go talk to people, and they didn't have anything.
Well, there was nothing there. Yeah. Only you could only get your comfort from God and God alone.
Yeah.
And again, folks, that's where we need to be. Where does our comfort come from? It comes from Christ and Christ alone. Mm-hmm. The plague will not hurt you. If we look at the unleavened bread, which we're going to, because you've got to keep this for 7 days. If you think of the 7 days as 7 years or 3.5 years, whatever you want to look at it as. You look at it as that time of tribulation before the wrath of God. We're going to look at it, and I want to kind of look at it in that aspect. The place that I heard you. The next thing is unleavened bread. Exodus 12, 15 through 20. We're going to look at that, and then we're going to think about this a little bit, because there's a lot of pictures in here. We'll also go to Leviticus a little bit, because in the Exodus, these are the only two of the seven feasts that are talked about until the first fruits when they enter into the new land. Now, the interesting thing is, after these 7 days, that's going to be the end of it until you enter into the new land, until you enter into the promised land, and then it'll be after the first year of being there, you'll have the sacrifice of the first fruits. But we'll get to that, Lord willing, if we have a moment or two to do it in. And so Exodus chapter 12, verses 15 through 20. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. All right? Hold on. That's a serious thing. All right? We'll get into that in a moment. In the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. In the seventh day, there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save, that means except, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. You shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. From in this selfsame day I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day in your generations by ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and the 20th day of the month at evening. 7 days you shall there shall be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitation shall ye eat unleavened bread. And then Moses called for the elders, and they dipped the lintel in this stuff. What does leaven represent in the Bible? Sin. How serious do you think God was when he said, take the leaven out of your houses? Take the leaven out of where? Your home. Amen. You got it right, sister. Right here. In the New Testament church, I need to be serious about taking the sin out of my life. Who takes it out? Who takes the leaven out?
Jesus.
You do. No, Jesus covers it. Amen. And he gives you the ability to take it out. But you've got to make a deep, personal, on purpose work to take leaven out of your life. It just doesn't naturally happen. Who thought just by accepting Jesus, all of a sudden you'd never sin again? Now, if you thought that, how long did you believe
it? I thought that for probably about a few days.
I thought that until I found myself right back in the same big spot that I left. Right? I said, wow, I thought I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd never sin again. No. It's a personal fight
within me that I must take on. It's a personal fight within you that you must take on. You can't back away from this fight. You got to take it on. You got to go ahead, brother.
I was thinking, because he tells them to put the leaven out of the house. Eating of the leavened bread would participate in sin.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't even want sin in the house.
Amen.
You are not even close to you. Get away from it. Get it away
Amen.
From you.
Amen. For 7 days, a time of purification. 7 days. Again, perfect number. 7 days.
And the 21st, the end of it.
Come on.
That's three times seven.
Three times seven.
Three is a picture of the Godhead
yes.
or of resurrections. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.
Yeah.
And here it is ending now.
Right.
Say that once more. Three is the...
Three is a picture of the Godhead or a picture of the resurrection. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.
Say that, Mark.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Yeah.
The Godhead, yes.
Amen is the Godhead. And so you see that three, you know Mass, seven times three is 21, right?
Yes.
Count on my hand, ran out of toes. And so, it's a lot more accent. Not true, not true. Anyhow.
My pastor said that they're preaching and lying in the same breath.
Yeah.
Please
don't
take it. Yeah. And my sheepdog is lying and preaching the same. Anyhow, this 7 days ye shall eat, ye shall eat 7 days ye eat unleavened bread, even, this is verse 15, even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. That soul. Do you think those words were on purpose? How does that apply to the church? If all of these things, Paul said that all these things in the Old Testament are pictures of the things in the New Testament. How's that apply? I have an idea, but I don't want to lay out my idea before I hear somebody smarter than me. That's you. She said, who, me? No.
You, Diane.
Diane, come on, Diane. You ought to know this. It needs to be taken out of our head. Bread from your house from the first, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. If we willingly hide sin in our heart, Galatians chapter 6, those who are the works of the flesh, anyone practicing or doing these things, it doesn't say practicing. I always say practicing because that came from the New King James. Okay? But in Scripture, it doesn't say practicing. It says anybody who does these things will have no... let me get over there real quick. So, excuse me again. That's what you get for getting breakfast. I tell you before, as I've told you in times past, this is 6:21 of the Galatians. I told you before, as I've told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You just went through the works of the flesh. Works of leaven. Anybody who does those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In the Old Testament, you've got 7 days that you're supposed to get rid of all the leaven in your house as a holy convocation unto the Lord. Is convocation this? No, convocation is on the other. Does anyone know what it is? Oh, convocation, yeah, verse 16, convocation. Does anyone know what a convocation is? Because I had to look it up. I didn't know what a convocation was. Convocation is from Hebrews. Anyhow, I didn't show the wrote that down too. It's the act of a person, a holy act of a person. It is an on-purpose action. It's not something done by happenstance or done by the state. It is a purposeful reaction to a command. Right? God commanded us to take the leaven out of our house. And we all know that we are the temple of God. This, I need to deal with my personal sin. You can't deal with it for me, and I can't deal with yours for you.
Christ will cover those things, but he wants us to get them outside the house. He wants us to confess them. How do you get sin outside of you? Confess it. Amen. 1 John. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin. Psalm says he separates it as far as the east is from the west. But if we hide that sin, if we take that leaven and we stick it in a corner where nobody else is going to find it, what's that do?
It almost makes the crucifixion of no effect.
It makes the sacrifice.
Of no effect.
Of no effect.
If we continue to hold on to that which we should abhor, then we are, I can't remember the wording exactly, but it, and I can't tell you what it is. I'm really helpful. But it is the idea that we make the sacrifice of no effect.
Right.
Well, leaven itself causes you to grow, causes it.
God,
causes your sin to grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Bigger and larger and more consuming.
Yeah.
And how much of it are we supposed to deal with in our personal vessels?
All of it.
You've got to deal with this stuff. Jesus says he'll handle it. He'll handle it. If you find that leaven in your life and you bring it outside, he'll deal with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doesn't it say somewhere a little bit of leaven?
Hold on. Jesus said that. Don't you know? He was talking to the Pharisees, the religious people of this day. He says, don't you know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? So, go ahead, sister.
I was just going to say with Achan, when he hid that,
the clothing and the gold. Yeah.
And it wasn't just him that was affected, his whole family.
Yes. Yeah.
Everything he owned was just.
Yeah. Him. Not only that, all of Israel was affected. The whole Israel got beaten by an itty bitty town called Ai.
A little bit of leaven leavened that whole world.
Yes, it really did. Yeah, my sister.
It reminds me of like the Black Death. The people who tried and didn't help with the other people, they died even with the. Like more people that died.
Really? Wow. Praise God. That's a little bit of history. Those who didn't help, they say that again.
The people that didn't help, the people that had it got sick and died anyway.
Okay, yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
You know?
Because they didn't get the immunity because
they
didn't
have the immunity. Yeah, it was transmitted. It wasn't transmitted person to person.
Yeah.
I don't believe.
No, it was rat to person.
Yeah.
My brother.
Or
flea to person, actually.
Apparently, this month they got more than 18.
Yeah.
They talk about the 1/20th day, I think, 3 weeks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How does the extra 2 weeks relate to the first week when they can't have the leaven?
Extra 2 weeks. 7 days.
Well, you had the 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yep.
The 10 days, and then. But that starts on the first, and now then we go to the 14th, and then we're going to go to 21.
Right. And so
from the beginning of that until the end of this period is the 21 days.
Is the 21st. And so you start at the beginning of the Passover all the way through the unleavened bread, bringing you to the 21st of the month. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, just saying that the first is no leaven in your house.
Yep.
But then sounds like you can get the leaven back in for the other weeks, or
no?
It starts
actually after the 14th. It starts on the 15th. That's when the unleavened feast begins. That's when you get everything out of your house. After the sacrifice is cleaned up and all that, you take all that stuff out of your house. All of the leaven, all the hyssop, all the things that are unclean. You get all of that. And the reason I say hyssop, why did I say hyssop there? I know hyssop is what they use, the priests use to sprinkle the blood. Do you know what a hyssop?
That's what they gave Christ.
Well, that's what they gave Christ. But think about this, all right? Where does yeast come from? If you have no yeast in your house, how do you collect no yeast? It comes from yeast. All living matter has a type of yeast in it as it decompresses. If you don't have yeast for your bread, put you a pan underneath your grapevine.
Yeah.
And yeast will.
Really?
You can get yeast from grapes.
Yeah.
It cascades off of it. A potato and water. Yeah. And so if you need yeast and you got grapes, you can find some.
I never heard that before.
Yeah. And so
any of one of those survival magazines.
Interesting, race too, type of the blood.
Yeah.
Amen. Go ahead.
In their whole process of getting ready for the Passover and all that too, mm-hmm. they actually make a conscious effort to put some yeast in a little spot. So I believe the man of the household comes and finds it and
right.
removes it from the house.
Yes.
It's intentionally put there for them to remove it,
right.
which
yes.
is a really good training.
Yes,
yes.
it is.
No,
we got pictures. We're looking into pictures and stuff. This is a picture. Now, during those 7 days of no leaven in your house, you're preparing. Now, who here has eaten things that do not have leaven in them? Are they tasty?
No.
Is it like another slice, please?
No.
It is, leaven brings a lot of flavor. But without leaven, brings a lot of
dryness.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah, it was worse than crackers because even saltines have leaven.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so saltine.
So if you get rid of the leaven in your life, then you're dry.
Then you're filled with the Spirit.
Then you're filled with the Spirit.
Oh, okay.
Because all of nature hates a void. Amen? So if you don't have leaven in your life, it's going to be filled with something. Let's make that the grace of God.
So it is the dying of self. Right?
It is the dying of self. It's a picture of dying to yourself. And every year, as a ritual, the Hebrews had to do this over and over and over and over again. And into the new church, we need to do this. It's a type of purification, getting rid of all of this garbage. The things that really aren't helpful to you. I don't know if leaven is helpful to you outside of taste. It pleases the flesh, but I don't know if it actually brings any real benefit to the human body. Yeah?
You know, you just made a comparison a while ago about practicing. You said, you're not practicing leaven because occasionally we're all going to sin. But it does say, you shall not sin.
Mm-hmm.
So that implies that you're going to, everybody does it, and that's why you got to ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You got to deal with it.
Is yeast the same as leaven?
Yes. Leaven, yeast.
There is brewer's yeast.
Yes. Right.
People say it's good beer.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's true.
Oh, really? Yeah. So if you drink enough beer, it's good?
Well, no. Oh. It is brewer's yeast.
Brewer's yeast. Yes. That's pretty complex.
But
it is a yeast. Yes.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of what that word is.
Yeah.
We should recommend that.
Yeah.
I have to.
Yeah.
Brewer's
yeah.
yeast.
Yeah. They got another name for it, too.
Right.
They recommend that we put that on our food.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And
okay.
It gives you B1.
Okay. Sweet. Is there anywhere to get B1 outside of brewer's yeast? Or is that
it's in
some foods, yeah.
So you don't have to have yeast.
Very important vitamin.
Right.
Very
it's not
very
essential
important.
To get that.
Right.
That's right.
And so, and I'd be one.
There's yeast in the air, though.
Yes, there is.
Air.
There really is. Well,
it's all around us. It's
yes.
all around us.
Amen. Yeah.
And if you were to make, I hear this told that if you were to make wine in an open bucket or whatnot, you don't want wild yeast in there to work the wine.
Oh.
Then you add your good
yeast,
and that makes it better batch.
Yeah. So
I've been told.
A lot of folks down here brew stuff.
Can I just make a couple of random points?
Please.
God's been kind of putting them in my brain.
Yes.
So excuse me if it doesn't make an awful lot of sense. But I was listening to the verse you quoted about they that do such things.
Yeah.
That's present tense.
Yes.
Not did those things. And Paul said also, so were some of you.
Yes.
But also I'm thinking about the 7 days of unleavened here. And I'm thinking about if there is a 7-year tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul talks about in 2 Thessalonians a falling away.
Right.
So if you keep that yeast during that time,
yes.
You probably are going to lose your faith.
Your soul will be outside.
Can be faith. I don't know if I'm saying that exactly the way, but if that's there and you deliberately sin during that time period, when you know this is the Bible talking about the last days, and you just say, I don't care, that's a falling away.
Yeah. That's funny that you mentioned that, because I was thinking that, but I couldn't think of a way to articulate it in a way.
Well, I didn't say it very well. I didn't think
of it. No, I think
it makes perfect sense.
Really, truly, during those, if indeed it is a 7-year tribulation, all right, I'm saying if because there's a lot of controversy about that. I don't know for sure. I know that there is a tribulation period, all right. If it is for 7 years, we see, that signing of the document happens, and then it begins, all right, the covenant's made with Israel for 7 years. And we see that unfolding before us. If we do not start preparing our house, especially then, and working, thank you for this.
Yeah.
Because I believe that the Holy Spirit right now is at work in the true believers, fixing the leaven that's in our lives. All right? He's bringing it, he's making it foam up, he's making it come to a head, that we can deal with these things that are so, it's the mercy of God.
Amen.
Those 7 years could be the mercy of God, pulling the leaven up inside, making it visible, findable, exposed, that you can confess it and get rid of it.
And what did Jesus use John to warn the churches? He that hath an ear, let him hear. If you don't know your word of God,
amen.
That's probably you're going to be your downfall during that time period.
Yes.
How many times in the Bible does it say, talks about self-examination? You know, 7 days of self-examination.
Yeah. 7 days of dealing with it. 7 years of dealing with it is a perfect number. God gives you the perfect amount of time to deal with these things, pulling them out continually until the day of perfection. And if you don't deal with it, it says your soul will not be in the congregation.
And it's more than just dealing with your sin. It's having that heart that sees that it is separating you from your sin.
Yeah.
It's separating you from the lover of your soul. Right? It's more than just identifying that this is a sin. It's recognizing that that sin is interfering with the intimacy you have with your Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's heartbreaking.
Well, in these sense, go ahead, brother. Did you have something? In Leviticus 23, it talks about these same things. It's starting in verse 35 of 23 in Leviticus. Because they're both talking about the same thing. Chapter 23:35. On the first day shall be a holy convocation, and ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you. And ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It shall be a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no several servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, and ye shall proclaim to the holy convocations to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, a meat offering, a sacrifice, a drink offering, everything upon this day. Besides the Sabbath of the Lord, your gifts, and behind all your vows, and beside all your free will offerings which ye give unto the Lord. Also the 15th day of the 7th month. All right, so then it comes all the way to Tishri, which would be the next part of the Feast of the Lord, the Fall Feast, the Trumpets, Atonement, and Tabernacle. So we won't get into that today. But look at what he says. After the 15th of the month, which is the beginning of the unleavened bread, the 15th of the first month, you're supposed to make sacrifices unto the Lord unto the eighth day. What is the eighth day? Sunday. Amen. So you make a sacrifice unto the Lord every day. Every day I offer up, every day, the leaven of my life. Every day I offer this up,
until the day, right? Until that promised day happens, the resurrection. Until the day I am set free. Praise God. There's a day coming where I won't have to worry about this.
And if there's 7 years of tribulation,
yep.
The eighth year.
Come on!
Beginning of the eighth
yes.
year.
The beginning of the eighth year. Praise God. And again, it's a jubilee. It is a time of being set free. All the bondage will be let go. My biggest desire for the body of Christ, those who believe Jesus Christ, call Him as their Lord and Savior, is that we would start dealing with leaven in our lives. You know? I need to deal with this. You need to deal with this. Right? Because we might be coming up. We may, if it is indeed a seven-year thing, and in the midst of the seven-year thing is the mark of the beast, right? In that thing, in that time, if indeed this is that, we need to be our eyes wide open. We need to be totally prepared. We need to be dealing with our personal sin. We need to be working on these things daily. So when that day comes, it won't overtake you as a thief in the night. When that day comes, you won't be deceived. You know, again, Paul writes to us, he says, those who are deceived are those who do not love the truth. God sent a strong delusion because they did not love truth.
I think we're seeing it already.
Amen. In my mind's eye, in my spirit, in the Word, if I compare what my spirit is saying compared to the Word of God, people, I think we're in it. I really do think we're in it. Somewhere in there is what we're seeing, this vaccine thing, is that the mark of the beast? I don't know. I don't believe so. But it has a lot of telltale signs that tie into it.
And at the end of the day, does it matter?
No.
In that we abide in Christ.
Amen. Come on, sister.
Right?
That's the
good
stuff.
Every single day we take the next step. We take
yes.
the next. I'm telling you, that was the theme over the last almost 3 years.
Yeah.
Is just take the next step.
Yeah.
It's all I'm asking you to do.
That's it.
Keep
yes.
your eyes on me and take the next
yes.
step. Does it matter? If I'm
Amen.
Going to have somebody crashing into my house
no.
and wanting to kill me if I don't
yes.
denounce Christ, it doesn't matter.
Right.
I take the next step and I'm
Go ahead, brother.
I think most Christians see this vaccine as a type
yes.
of
yes.
what's coming very soon.
Yes.
So we're looking at that and we're saying, this is probably what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Practice run.
You can't accidentally take the mark anyways.
That's right.
Is
right.
You have to worship.
Nobody accidentally takes the vaccine.
And then take the
vaccine. There's an old saying in our movie.
Yeah.
It's to worship first.
See, I would land on that.
Yeah. Well, actually, what does it mean to worship the beast? We worship our internet more than we worship God. See, we're thinking the beast as a human, right? Now, there may be a human, but there's a power behind
it. I think it could be a hybrid.
Come on.
The AI, artificial intelligence, because
yes.
I'm working on that now, mixing the artificial
no.
intelligence
yes.
with humans.
With humans.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah,
we're
seeing
it.
Yeah.
I
mean,
with the recent video that I just saw, I think it was yesterday, you know, where this woman asked this bus driver, where are you all coming from? Well, we're from FEMA, and they were at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And so FEMA is going into the hospital to replace the doctors and nurses that would not take the jab.
Yeah.
And so they are now replacing.
Yes.
When you see that whole thing, you're like, oh, that's why they want to get the unobedient people out of there and then put in their army to be our doctors and nurses.
Okay.
And
again, I know that resist means resist and the other, what's that, those who resist, not
comply.
No, it's in the Bible. We've talked about it. I said it resists, but it's not.
Let it.
What you put in your salad. let it. And tomatoes. He who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. All right? He who allows will allow until he is taken out of the way.
By the way, they don't have to take it. It's optional for them.
Right.
It's optional for FEMA to take the jab.
Right.
But we all know that they are willing to work for the government, and that now clear to us why they're there.
Wow.
Now,
okay,
those who resist, all right, if that word is resist and not allow, those who resist will resist until we're taken out of the way, until we're put in the FEMA camps.
Mm-hmm.
We won't take
them out. Which are our hospitals.
Which are our hospitals and our Walmarts and our
empty jails.
Empty jails and our empty psycho wards.
You know, you want to know?
They're not claiming peace and security yet, too.
Yes, they are.
The signs as well.
Trust me, take the jab, it'll all be okay.
Yeah. They seem to be pretty scared, still. Like,
yeah.
They have their masks.
Well, so it's coming. I mean, it's not like today this is it. These are the groundworks, the foundation of the things that will be showing up later.
And those people that tell you to wear the mask aren't afraid.
Right.
Because they're out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, caught out without them anyway. You know,
yeah.
Nancy Pelosi makes all the House members wear it on the floor. She doesn't wear it when she goes somewhere.
Right.
You still need the Antichrist to be showing the grandiose things to people.
Yeah.
To convince them.
Yeah.
Where's that? You know, it's
coming.
That's before the mark of the beast, is it not?
Yes. But if it's only a 3.5-year period. I mean, how fast does this thing happen in the last year?
I think it's beginning pretty quick.
You know, there's a line from a movie. If you build it,
they will come. Yeah.
So what we have here is and I tell you what, I'm increasingly like that Anthony Page. I'm weary of saying this is a prelude.
Right.
I'm starting to refrain. I'm refraining from that now because I don't know.
I
the promise has been made. You will not be able to buy or sell if you don't. Receive this vaccine.
Right.
What am I supposed to do? And I believe that this right here is the temple.
Yeah.
This is the temple.
The body.
Yeah. And if we're taking stuff in there that, and now you know we become, we take synthetic DNA. We're hybrid.
And we're looking at these things. I mean, there's a lot
this
of
is
stuff.
Heavy stuff.
We're going to have a guy that's going to come. Okay. And I'm talking to him for our church. I'll track. She says. We'll find out when you're coming. We'll make it
know. Today again?
We have to set a date.
Oh.
You tell us when you're here. We'll make it that day.
Okay.
But we have a guy who is a scientist.
Yeah.
Amen. He's a scientist, and he dealt with these nanotechnology kind of things, and he's going to enlighten us a lot about the thing that's happening. I've seen some of his work and stuff like that, and. It's very important when he has.
And what's interesting is that the tech people,
yeah,
a lot of these tech people and doctors are the ones that are saying, "This is bad news.
Yeah.
This is really bad."
Mm-hmm.
And as they're looking, as they delve deeper into stuff, the stuff they're seeing under the microscopes now, is horrific.
And I've heard it more than once, even on the secular news, that this following the shot, the science is a religion. This is their religion. All right, that's a big step.
But it is putting their trust in man.
Yeah.
Versus putting their trust in Christ.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I said I wouldn't go here, but here we are.
I mean, like, their life, it's like,
they're
putting that in.
I feel like he is able to keep us.
Yeah,
he
amen.
He is able to keep us.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people, and I don't know, I'm just saying, there's people that got it. Because they could not from at the beginning.
Yes.
Right now there's too much information.
Right.
But there's people that took it because they needed to see their mother in a nursing home.
Yeah.
They didn't be separated and was told it was safe and got it.
Yeah.
That person didn't worship.
No,
right.
Right?
Yeah.
So I really have a hard time with that.
Well, it doesn't cover what they said about the mark of the beast.
Right.
They didn't say anything about the types.
Mm-hmm.
The mark of the beast is the one that will do the win.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's not the original shot, but the booster.
Exactly.
One of those boosters. And as you slowly start turning to trusting science when you trust the Word of God, slowly make that turn. Step by step.
But God is in charge.
Amen.
And God knows what's in that person's heart.
Yes.
God took that shot.
Yeah.
And He knows why they made the decision.
Absolutely, Jim.
And he is going to be the one that does the judging, not me.
That's
not somebody else. So God's in control. And if they took the shot, it's what's in their heart when they took it. And what's going on. And that's between them and God.
Right.
Right. And we need to rest that.
Yes, amen.
My nephew is a little over 2 months old now. My sister-in-law, you know, got the shot when she was pregnant. She thought that was the right thing to do.
Yes.
And this kid had no say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I feel like
right.
God is able to keep us and to, I don't know.
Right.
I feel like the mark will be when you take this. You are turning away from God.
Yeah.
It's going to be very clear.
You're following the need.
Yeah.
And you'll want to.
It's
you
like
want to support it.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Not you want, right?
That,
you want
that right. Worship takes place first. And then
take the mark.
So why does someone get deceived that way? Why did it tell us in Scripture?
Yeah.
If you they didn't love the truth.
Yeah.
Right. All right. They didn't love the truth. All right. So. That's why I say this may not be that, but it has a lot of the telltale signs of that.
So it's like Jim said, though,
yeah.
I don't judge.
Right.
I can't judge.
I can't.
All I know is I am stepping back from saying this is a prelude. I'm
right.
Stepping back now. I'm starting to go, I'm not judging you, but this, by the grace of God, it would never happen.
He wants us to be a light. He wants us
Amen.
To be a light.
Yeah.
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 We're not a light.
But I can't judge.
Trying to say where we are.
Right. And I don't think any of us are trying to put a pinpoint where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is that this is like unto that.
Yeah,
it's like unto that. Yeah.
God has, us, our bodies have immunity to this. If you catch it, you got it,
yes.
You overcome it. And
about the whole
thing. Now we're disregarding that. Totally.
Yeah.
Because they're deal is better from God's
right.
And that's all they're doing. So
and it's trusting science.
You can't trust God. You have to
go ahead.
You can see the importance God puts on blood, like the
question
that we learned today.
Yeah.
And if God is in us, and God in temple is in us, then for the science, for mankind to change that human DNA strand, it's probably a severe sin in God's eyes.
Right. So even in this, what we studied about the Passover wasn't a type.
Mm-hmm.
That was an antitype, not an antitype, but an antitype. And Christ was the fulfillment of the type. Christ was the antitype. This shot is a type, but there will be an antitype, a type that fulfills the picture of what this is. Right? The sacrifice of the lamb, the blood of bulls and goats was never enough to cover sin. But it was a picture of the one who would come that was able to cover sin. So all of those were types, and then there's the antitype, which was the fulfillment of the type. Alright, so if indeed this is where we're at, this vaccine would be an antitype, or even the internet would be an antitype of the beast. Okay, there will be a beast that comes. There's an antitype of the indwelling of the mechanical spirit from the beast, an antitype. But there will come a day where the type is actually here. And if you trust in the antitype, then you will be fooled by the type. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. First time I heard that before, antitype.
Antitype, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
the deceiving that we're seeing now.
Yeah, the falling away, the trusting in something besides Christ. So it is that time. Sing a song. Amen. Who wants to close? Yes, you can.
Say a little bit of something about talking about in Daniel they talk about 3.5 years,
mm-hmm.
and then with the beast it's 42 months.
Right.
And with the two witnesses, it's 1260 days.
Yes.
Now, the first two are kind of ambiguous. Is that
right.
Roman calendar or Jewish?
Yeah, absolutely.
The 1260
yeah.
is
specific.
That's Jewish.
Yeah.
360.
Yeah.
But the difference between the two calendars is just about 18 days. 666. So it could be those witnesses are killed.
Yeah.
And then there's 18 days.
18 days. Amen.
For everything to work out.
Yeah.
And that way you can't really know the day and the hour because...
Because you don't know the story.
Because you don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. So that's all we're saying. One thing we do know is that we are here. And God allowed us to be here. What an exciting time. Amen. Who wants to close in prayer? We've got to get ready for service. Has this been fun?
Oh,
I know it has been fun. You know, but it is... Yeah, we teach different things.
Neither one of you is the Bible.
Amen, it's the Indian.
Neither one of you is the Bible. The Bible is great.
It's a Bible study. Basic instructions before leaving Earth.